Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Indiana's the Truth. Back with us is a slightly tired Alex Cristoforo. Alex, how are you doing? I don't think I need
Doing
to
good.
introduce you to anybody. They should know it. If nothing else, at least the Duran that on the t-shirt, get some swag. They do have the coolest hats too, by the
Yeah,
so
got some good hats. Yeah,
Yeah, they got
definitely.
country flag hats too, by the way.
Well, there you go.
Hello, dear friends. Just want to remind you, if you like this video or you like what you hear, click like, subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. Send it to your friends. Let's grow this channel. Maybe we can finally hit it up to 100,000. That'd be a good round number for the summer. So let me know, leave some comments, and give a thumbs up. So look forward to seeing you in the next video. Cheers.
A little plug.
Yeah, a little plug. I gotta figure out how to do the merchant's nice thing. I don't know if I can actually do it since I'm in Russia. Little
That's true. Yeah.
financial issues there.
Sanctions. It's a sanctions. Yeah.
And speaking of sanctions, by the way, they're still paying for oil and gas out of Russia, one direction or the other. If it's through the Greeks having to ship it, or through the Indians. How do they transfer the money if they're basically plugging every single bank around?
How are they transferring the money? You mean the Greek shippers or the
Right. Oh, the shippers also to pay for to pay for the oil that they're picking up from Russia and the natural gas at the LNG.
how are they
Paying the
how are
Russian
they
side.
paying for it?
Yeah.
How are the Russian side?
Well, how the Greeks are paying the Russians, because they're transferring a lot of the
Oh,
LNG.
they've
So
yeah,
yeah,
I mean they yeah, they've got companies all over the place. Yeah.
third party payment systems, third party payment systems.
Oh yeah. They're the I mean the ships are the shipping company is Greek, but I mean, you have the ships are registered God knows where, the flags are God knows where. They've got offices all over the place. I mean, you're never going to be able to stop it. I mean, the Greeks, the sanctions with Greek shippers was the problem that that Greece had with the specifically one shipping company. Was that it was okay with sanctioning Russian LNG to the EU. It had no resistance to that. What it put a stop to was sanctioning Russian LNG outside of the EU. And their argument is correct. They were arguing with to the Greek government. And when the Greek shippers are going to the Greek government has to listen because it's the shippers that effectively run the country,
Really?
not the politicians work for the shippers and also work for the EU. Oh yeah, of course, of course. The shippers own everything. I mean, they own the shipping companies, they own the media, they own the football clubs,
Wow.
they own it all. So the argument that they were making to the Mitsotakis government was, look, we'll go with a ban of Russian LNG into the EU. That's fine, but you can't cut us out of exporting and selling LNG on the global market because if you do that, we lose the market, and someone else is going to come right in and just scoop up all the business. Specifically, China is what they argued, and they're correct. Basically, they told the Mitsotakis government, and the Mitsotakis government told the European Union, we lose everything and gain nothing with this sanctions move. So we'll lose our shippers, we'll lose the global market, they'll lose it to competitors, and they gain nothing out of the out of this sanctions
Yeah.
policy. And they're correct. Plate wasn't so much the EU. I mean, the EU isolating itself from what's going on with it. We're going to destroy ourselves. Okay, let's do it, right? But
What else have we got to do
don't cut us
today?
out of the global market, right? Yeah,
Well,
exactly. So, I mean, at least we're going to keep our global business. That was the argument, and the EU walk and the EU backed down. They granted Greece the
did
exemption
they?
as they
Okay.
approved the 21st sanctions package. So they said, yeah, of course, of course. Yeah, you can't have the Greek companies go bust, right?
Of
Because
course.
why? You want to sanction Russian gas on the global markets, really?
But
Who gives
it's
you
okay
that
to
power,
sanction for
European Union?
yourself
Who gives you
just
that
on the
right?
global markets.
That's fine, if the EU, if Ursula wants to punish the European Union and the people of the EU, so be it, right? And if the EU member states say, okay, we'll take the punishment, fine. Okay, but we have businesses that want to operate outside of the EU, that want to do business in other countries, that want to sell their gas and their oil to other markets, which don't want to be punished. Right? So, that was the argument there, yeah.
This is
So
truly a
that was the
ludicrous
whole.
conflict.
Well, look, for the European Union, it's as much about punishing those inside the EU than it is about going after Russia. I mean, it's both. They want to go after Russia, and they want to stick it to the plebs. Right.
Why are they so out to stick it to their own people? I mean,
Okay.
is it just a hatred of Europeans by the European elites? Or is there something deeper here?
I think there's some of that. I think there's a lot of that to the elites. I mean, this probably goes back centuries. The elites despise the people. I think that's in the European DNA, and it's passed down. I guess it's passed down from generation to generation. So I think there's that component. But the more you beat down the citizens, the more you can implement your authoritarian plan, your 2030 a scheme that is moving as on course. I mean, nothing slowing them down from the 2030 agenda.
So would you say that the SMO has been just the perfect vehicle for Brussels to grab power and consolidate that power?
Yeah. Sure, absolutely. It works out great for them, right? Russia's the enemy, and because Russia's the enemy, they're cyber attacking us, and they could be invading us, and so we need to clamp down on social media. We need to put certain checks in place. We need to stop flights from Russia, commercial flights into the European Union. We need to ban media from Russia. We need to ban media from other countries. We need to go after disinformation. We need to protect 16-year-olds and under. All of these things. We need to create our own intel agency in the European Union, under control of the European Union. We need to allocate more money to drones and to the MIC and to weapons. So we're going to take funds from social services or other programs, and we're going to redistribute them towards fighting Russia. And ultimately, we'll get to taxation on an EU level, Eurobonds. So as the European Union, we can go out and float bonds, and in order to backstop that, you have to put taxation in place as well. So I mean, it's the creation of the United States of Europe, right? I mean, that's always been the plan. I don't think that should be surprising to anyone. I mean, that's always been the end goal, is to create a federated or United States of Europe, right? So
It's
the
always ended
SMO
in war.
definitely helps them move in that direction. Well,
Every time Europe's gone this down this route, whether it's Charlemagne all the way back then, the Holy Roman Empire, Napoleon, the new European order from Hitler, or now the European Union, it's never exactly worked out too well.
No. Every 80 years they get that itch. Every 80 years.
Is it the lemming
Like
effect?
clockwork. I don't know. It's like clockwork,
There's too many of us. Let's
unfortunately.
go throw a generation out on under
Yeah.
Russian tanks.
Exactly. Like this time will be different.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they're always saying. This time we've got Russia. It'll be different.
You know,
Yeah.
you'd think genetically that whole mentality would have been bred out over the last 1,000 years, but no,
No,
you're right.
the opposite. It's been passed on.
And enforced.
And reinforced. Yeah, it doesn't leave. It gets reinforced and it gets passed on from generation to generation.
It's insanity. Absolute insanity. But I mean, in their own efforts, they're risking revolutions in some of these countries. Look, Romania right now is saying, they've lost 65% of their oil. So they're going to have fuel crisis now. And that oil they were getting from the Caspian Pipeline Authority, which comes out of Novorossiysk, but is owned 50% by Chevron. So the Americans are losing billions. Owned, I think, 45% by KAZ Oil and 5% by Lukoil. But, the point is, the Ukrainians are hitting tankers, including a Greek tanker that were going in to get the oil. So nobody's going there anymore. So the Kazakhstanis and the Americans are losing billions. But the point is Romania is going to be out of gasoline, and probably not only Romania.
Yeah, but is it Ukraine that is hitting this, or is it the US and NATO targeting? And you have to ask the question, why are they doing this? I mean, Romania is part of NATO.
That is,
And it's
with a stolen election.
US NATO target. Yeah. I mean, well, it's US and NATO targeting, isn't it?
Oh, of
That's
course it
hitting
is.
these oil facilities. Okay, so I mean, why are they doing this to themselves?
That's a very good question.
That's the million dollar question.
They're risking a collapse
Yeah.
of the economy in Romania, which isn't exactly that strong to begin with.
Yeah. Well, I've always had the sense that the globalists in the West, if they have one talent, it's to keep the train on the tracks, to keep the ball rolling, to kick the can down the road. They're good at that.
Yes, they
And
are.
that's their one talent is to survive, and for the institutions to survive no matter what. And so, one thing that I learned from the Greek crisis and the Cyprus crisis is that they're very good at calibrating pain. I'm talking about pain for the people.
Their
And they
own
take
people.
it right, yeah, their own people. They take it right to the point where it's horrific for the people, but it doesn't cross over to the point of revolution or to the point where their power comes into question. Because what scares them the most is losing power. And so they preserve their power no matter what. And so they'll deliver enough pain, but they'll never take it to the point where their power is at risk.
That's
And so
true.
I don't know how they're dealing with the Romanian people or what the plan is for the Romanian people, how they're going to calibrate this. But with everything that happened with Georgescu, I think they learned a lot to the European Union. And they're good at this. They have their teams that do the marketing and they do the studies and they look at the psychology of each country and they look at the psychology of all the people. I know they definitely looked at the psychology of the Greeks and the Cypriots and they studied it. And they probably did the same with the elections in Romania and they studied it and they got their feedback and they started to understand the pressure points and the pain points of the people. And I think they understand how far can we take it. But not break it. And not break it because they don't want to break it. But they don't want their power to be at risk. We don't want Nikos Sourdan to be overthrown, for example. We don't want that. Right? So, they'll take it to the point, they'll bend it just enough so it doesn't break. But maybe it breaks. Sometimes you bend it too much. Yeah.
Bulgaria.
Yeah, Bulgaria,
Check.
case in point. Maybe AfD in Germany,
Maybe.
case in point, maybe.
Do you think anybody will actually let him come to power?
Well, Look, I think they're trying to stop them. I'm not
Yeah.
going to say I think they're going to. They're trying to stop them, and they're trying to figure out ways to stop them. They messed up a bit in that they delayed in trying to take out the AfD. The AfD now is too powerful and too big to be just simply taken out or taken down in a very crude way. Like what they did to Georgescu or something
Oh
like that.
yeah.
I think
That's
it'll never
extremely
fly now
crude.
with the power that AfD has. Yeah, but I'm sure they're spending days and nights trying to figure it out. No doubt about it.
Out of focus. Can't switch
No.
it off. It's a new function, by the way. I didn't used to have it. I bought this improved camera that had out of focus in it, and it was supposed to twice the pixels. My computer didn't see it, just saw it as camera too, right?
All right.
Sent it back, got my money back, and put the old camera in, and it got out of focus. Somehow. So like, what the hell? New function.
Yeah.
Oh, so I noticed one guy, Vladimir Gerd. So he's a Russian German, was living in Germany for quite a long time. He is now heading up an office to help Russian Germans and other Germans to immigrate into Russia. But he was so he became a member of parliament of the Bundestag for the AfD when the AfD, I think this was about 10 years ago. And he said, he wasn't planning on it, but he was part of the party. He went to a meeting and they were like desperate. They needed somebody in his district. So he got volunteered. And he said, and he got elected. He said, the moment he gets elected, friends of the family that they had known for a decade would cross the street and not walk past them on the same side of the street. And the brainwashing portion that he said a lot of their friends they just isolated him. Oh, you're now the evil guy. And this
Right.
was before all this started.
Right. It's probably a lot worse now.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, but they are the majority party right now. So,
Yeah.
but you
Yeah.
think they could? Well, we saw an inordinate number of members of the party die from various reasons in the last elections. I've seen various statistical studies, and basically the chances of this happening to one particular party at this one time were pretty far out there. Do you think they may turn to assassination,
I don't know.
strong arming?
I remember the covering the those stories. Yeah, with the off that I don't know. I don't know how far they'll go. I don't want to speculate on that. But it's you know the it'll get worse because they're in a panic,
Oh
right?
yeah.
So instead of just walking on the other side of the street, it'll ramp up because they're afraid. They're afraid of losing power. The party's become big. It's become strong. It's effectively the number one party in Germany, or very close to the number one party, and this is going to freak out the establishment. When they're scared, they do crazy stuff.
Scary. Look at Romania. They just canceled the elections, got rid of the number one candidate. That I think that was fear. It was a last minute fear.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, but it worked.
It did. You're absolutely right. The people didn't revolt.
Yeah, people didn't roll. People were out on the streets, but like I said, they know how to calibrate it. Or at least they believe they know how to calibrate it. And most of the time they're correct. Because they've got studies. They understand this stuff. Like the US is really good at all these
Oh
things.
yeah.
All right. They're good at all this intel stuff. And so they
Well,
pass on their data to the EU as well, right?
you remember the Peace Corps?
Yeah.
You know what they do now? The modern
No.
Peace Corps. They don't build bridges or help build agriculture systems. No, they go out and they do surveys on political issues. A friend of mine in Georgia was a bodyguard slash driver for these guys. That all they did, I mean, these college kids, all they do is they go out to villages and ask do surveys on political issues inside the country. So it's a CIA, basically. They're working for the CIA gathering information. That's the modern Peace Corps now.
That doesn't surprise me. That's what they're good at. They're
They
very good
are.
at that stuff. So they know. I mean, I could I could speak for Greece and for Cyprus. Know the country's psychology. It's better than the people that actually live here. They understand the group thinking. They understand the polling. They understand all these things, and they know how far they can push, and they also know when they need to back off.
Yeah, it's a science. I mean, it's a serious science, and you're right. They're really good at it. It's scary when you say that they know the people better than the people that live there.
They've got they've got the data. They've got the numbers, right? They've got the AI, right? They understand.
You think? Well, we got Magyar, so he's taken over from Orban, but he doesn't seem to have bent over fully the way Brussels wants it. You think he may wind up taking? I mean, he came from the same party as Orban originally. You think he may steer back toward the same positions Orban had,
No, no,
or
no,
he's
no.
fully an EU animal?
We called this on the Duran way, way along, way long time ago, and we nailed this one. We nailed this one. He can't, because he's fairly new, especially in the beginning, he couldn't go full globalist. Right? So the EU understood this too. Like Ursula understands this. And they know that, you can't come on your second day or on your second week in office and just go full, globalist, woke, whatever. Right. So, they kept some things, they held some things back. They pushed some of the easy stuff through. But the main goal, and we talked about this on the Duran, Alexander, the main goal of Magyar, at least in the beginning, was to mess around with the Constitution and to make sure that Orban or anyone like Orban would never have an opportunity ever again to get into power. Power in Hungary. That's exactly what he is doing, what he is doing, what the EU is making him do, what the globalists are telling him to do. That's exactly what he's doing. He's messing around with the Constitution. He's changing around the Constitution. He's purging politicians. If Orban had done this when he was in power, the West would be freaking
Oh,
out.
of
There would be
course.
1,000 articles a day. He's a dictator. He's a this. He's a that. But because it's Magyar, no one's saying anything. No one's covering this at all. At all, but he's turning the Constitution upside down, but he's making it so that Orban and Orban's allies and Fidesz and anyone in that party that has been there for any amount of time will never, ever, ever get into office again and never cause them the type of headaches that they had when Orban was in power. So that's what he's doing. And once he completes all of this stuff, then he'll get into the social issues. He'll get into the economic stuff. He'll get into the judicial stuff, and he'll start tearing Hungary down. He'll
Well,
make
I
it
mean,
so that Hungary is never coming back.
he did
They're never coming back.
initiate the LGBT kids channel, the Rainbow Channel, the first week he was in. So he
Sure, these are
didn't.
easy things. These are simple things. These are easy, simple things. These are, the big ticket stuff is going to come after the constitutional changes. Hungary will just be another middle-sized EU country. It's not
Province.
going to stand out. It's not going to stand out like it was with Orban. It's not going to cause any headaches. It's not going to cause any problems. It's not going to have any demands. The EU will be able to do whatever they want. It's in Hungary. All the NGOs are gonna take over. All the think tanks are gonna take over. All the globalist businesses are gonna move in and run the shop. It'll just be your standard mid-sized EU vassal nation. That's what they're gonna turn it into. When it was under Orban, it was a player. It was
Yeah, it
punching well
was.
above its weight.
Yeah, it amazes me that people never learn this lesson. Nation to nation, they never learn the lesson. You let the liberals in, and you can't get them out. They're like a tick under the skin. They're not going to leave, and they'll do anything in their power to make sure they never leave, including screwing with the constitutions, screwing with society. Once they're in, about the only way they're going to leave is feet first. And society after society falls to the same siren call, and they get stuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's a globalist thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I try to stay away from the whole left right thing.
I'm not saying
I just
left or
think it's
right. I'm
the
saying the liberal,
for me it's just
globalist.
yeah, I mean, I look at it as just the globalist control of our institutions, of foreign policy. Of the architecture of the collective West, the current architecture, everything that BRICS is trying to recreate. All these things are run and controlled by the globalists, and they're not going to allow, guys like Orban or Fico or these types of guys to mess around with them, or Meloni, right? I mean,
I'll say rain
you know,
baloney in really
and if they
quickly.
don't get in line, I mean, very quick, it was an afternoon conversation, and she folded like origami, right? I mean, she was
Like a cheap
easy.
suit.
Orban, after many years, they just finally realized, okay, we have to engineer this guy out. So how do we engineer him out? First, let's hold back the money, let's put a squeeze on their economy, and then let's work on the electorate. Let's find a guy as well. Let's find someone that we can put out in front, and let's work on the electorate to get this guy out of office. And they did it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's but you know, the playbook is basically the same. Country after country after country.
I mean, once it's a sit, but once they have their teeth in a country, they don't let go.
No, they don't.
I mean, Greece is never coming back from what it had, that fighting spirit, say before 2008, 2007. It's never come back.
No, it hasn't.
Cyprus the same. Hungary's going to be the same. Every country, once they get their hooks in you, it's game over.
Yeah, that's a sad thing. Europe is becoming a bland biomass. I think I don't know how else to describe it. One big bland biomass.
It's a biomass that's preparing for a big smash in a couple of years with Russia. So,
Well, maybe that crisis will bring things back. Nothing like a collapse of society to wake people
look,
back up.
yeah. Well, the United States is going to be watching on. China will be watching on as they see Europe smash with Russia.
Well, the United States is
Right.
going to be doing more than just watching on. They're going to be making
Oh, you
a lot
know.
of cha-ching.
Sure. They'll be fueling it and maybe funding it. They'll be making a lot of money, but at the end of the day, it'll be Europe collapsing in on itself again. The more
Yeah.
things change, the more they stay the same.
Oh,
Right.
what was it? The first time history repeats itself is a tragedy. The second time it's a farce.
We're at the
Which one are
farce.
we on now?
We're on
How
the
many
farce, yeah, no
farces?
doubt. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. We're on the farce. Yeah.
The far side.
Yeah, we'll see if they take us there. Yeah, we'll see if they take us there. If they have the ability to take us there.
Yeah,
Right.
the British were all up in a tizzy that. There was a Russian destroyer that was doing gunnery 40 miles off of the British shoreline, which is international waters.
Yeah.
The worst part for
Wait.
them, I think that one destroyer could sink most of the British fleet.
Yeah, well, considering everything that the UK has done to Russia, I mean, it's nothing what Russia is doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
How many storm shadows have been fired into Russia pre-2014? I'm not even saying Crimea and Donbass. I'm saying pre-2014 Russia. How many storm shadows have been fired into those areas? How much damage have they done? and Russia's response, for which the UK is whining about, is a ship that was 40 miles off the coast
Oh yeah.
firing some rounds.
They're also angry as the media back in 2023 saying that Russia has stolen the fish and chips from the average British chef. Well, and I don't understand why this lasted to 2023. I understand who signed it. It was Yeltsin, but they had an agreement with the UK allowing UK fishermen to fish Russian waters unlimited and not paying a single penny in taxes to the Russian government. Yeltsin signed that, but the agreement
Well,
lasted 2023.
that's why they loved Yeltsin in the West. That's why he was their
Yeah.
boy. That's why Clinton was jamming with Yeltsin, and he was palling around and hugging Yeltsin, right? Yeltsin was drunk off his ass, so many times he had no idea what the hell was going on, but still they liked it.
I'm questioning whether he was ever sober.
That's the kind of leader they like for Russia. They like the Yeltsins. They like these guys. They like the Saakashvilis. They like all these guys. They like the clowns,
Do you
right?
honestly think that they're thinking they're going to get another clown in power in Russia?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I mean, they're
You know
not.
what? Yeah, what can I say? I don't think so. But look, I think this time around, they're not going to just if they were to make inroads into Russia. Let's go down this rabbit hole. If they were to get there, they're not going to just stop at a Yeltsin. No, they're going to break the freaking thing up
Oh
this
yeah.
time around. Just like we talked about Hungary, they're not going to risk it. They're not going to risk another Orbán. They're not going to risk another Putin. That goes
Yeah.
without question.
Well, the point is, if they get rid of Putin, they're risking somebody a hell of a lot worse than that facing it.
Maybe, who knows? We say that. Everyone says it's going to be if Putin were to go, it's going to be someone much more hard line. I don't know. No one knows. No one knows. Never underestimate the West, the United States. Never underestimate the networks that they have. Never underestimate the people that are on the payroll. Never underestimate the NGOs, the universities, the think tanks. They're everywhere. So everyone says it'll be a hardliner or this and that, but who knows? Did anyone see Delcy Rodriguez coming?
Delcy
No, no one saw
Rodriguez.
that. No one saw kidnapping Maduro, and at the end of the day, it was Delcy Rodriguez who sold him out.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
No one saw it. Not even Maduro saw it.
Yeah, but Latin America has that little problem.
Well,
Everybody wants
we
to be the
say.
general,
Look, we say that, but
Generalismo.
Europe has a very turbulent history as well. Right? There's always been a lot of palace intrigue and backstabbing and stuff like that in Europe. It's all over the world. I would say it's not even a continent or a country thing. It happens everywhere. But the United States has those tools. Like Ursula says, we've got tools. The Europeans, they don't have these types of tools. Russia doesn't have these tools. China doesn't have these tools. But the United States has these things. They have the ally network. They have the networks of media, of the information space, of the nonprofits, of the intel. So I don't think anything like that is going to happen. I think the chances of something like that happening are very, very low, slim to none. But if something like that were to happen, I would say don't bet on someone coming in who's going to be more hard line than Putin. And even a hard liner can be turned, right? There,
It
there, there's
could,
ways
it
to get to
could.
everyone. Yeah, absolutely. The best path forward for Russia, I would say, is for Putin to finish this thing out. Right?
Yeah, it would be a good thing to do, with a military victory. I think that's the only
Yeah.
option.
Whether it's military or diplomacy, they have the goals of the SMO. They constantly say we're going to achieve our goals of the SMO. We know what the goals of the SMO are. They should achieve it. The more you wait, the more of an opening you give.
Oh, very true. Well, we just had the meeting in Milan between actually, I think one of the few times the actual foreign ministries have met with each other under Trump
Yeah.
versus having third party non-government types businessmen, all American
Yeah.
finance from both sides. Because
Yeah.
Dimitrov is a Goldman Sachs man, so his extensive background.
Yeah. I mean, it's good that the foreign ministries are speaking, both the Secretary of State and the Foreign Minister. I prefer that to the Witkoff Kushner model.
Jeez, yeah.
But the meeting was short.
35
It does
minutes.
seem like it was pretty contentious. I imagine much of it was not really about Ukraine. I imagine a lot of it was about Iran. Actually, I'm pretty confident that the meeting was about Iran and the report about Russia helping Iran to strike CIA facilities.
Shocking.
There's no look, everything was lined up. It's not a coincidence
Yeah, of course.
that article came out on the same day that you had the summit, knowing that Rubio would be at the same location with Lavrov, and Rubio could then call a meeting with Lavrov. So I mean, everything was set up so that Lavrov could address this, so that Rubio could address this with Lavrov. I imagine Rubio gave Lavrov an ultimatum, told him to knock it off. I imagine Lavrov told him, "You guys need to knock off what you're doing." And I think they got on their planes and they all went back home. And
It
yeah,
went home. Things continue on as they
and yeah.
continue.
Well, what Russia should expect for the United States is that the US is going to go back and they're going to say, okay, what can we do to turn up the pain for Russia a little bit more? I think that's what they're going to do. Right? I mean, there's not going to be a compromise or anything. They're going to figure out ways to turn up the pain to Russia.
Which is interesting because Russia has lots of ways it could turn up the pain for the U.S. Whether they do it or not, that's a whole different
I was going to say the same thing. Russia has a lot of ways of the Russia has a lot of ways to exercise its leverage, not only with the U.S. but especially on Europe, without having to go to war. Because everyone, whenever I say this, everyone says, "Oh, you want World War III? You want an attack?" I've never, ever, ever said that I want Russia to attack Europe ever, ever. But there are certain asymmetric things that Russia could do in order to send the message, don't mess with us.
Russia could
Hundreds of
easily,
things they could do. Yeah.
they could create an incident with the British or the French in the open seas and take them down, take down a couple cutters.
Well, they don't even have to take down. They could just seize a ship and
Yeah.
then release it after 2 days, like what Macron does, right? He takes a ship, holds it for 2 days, and then releases it. I mean, they could do, dumb stuff like that. Okay, it is dumb, and I'm sure the Russians are probably saying, "Why do we want to waste our time doing these stupid things?" But I mean, that's just one silly thing that they could do, just to mess around with the Europeans. But there's so many other things that they could do. They don't,
Yeah,
and the West knows that. That's the thing. They know that, and they bet on that, and they understand that.
absolutely. I know, I absolutely agree. I've been saying from day one that Russia should have had a hard response. All of this would have been over a long time ago, but
Yeah, I mean,
unfortunately.
it can have a soft response. Look at the media space. So you still have the BBC floating around in Moscow.
I know.
What are they
CNN
doing there?
also.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the Russian media floating around in the European capitals.
Oh, that
I
would be
never,
like freedom of speech or something.
I see Putin. Well, I see Putin getting questions from NBC and BBC all the time when he does his year-end events. I never ever see Trump getting a question, or Ursula or Mertz or whatever getting a question Russia 24 or whatever, Izvestia or TASS or something like that. Never,
Oh
because
yeah.
they're not there,
I know.
right?
RT's banned. I mean, flat out banned.
Yeah, I
That's
mean,
part of that
yeah.
free speech
Yeah, so,
umbrella.
I understand the Russian arguments. If they do it to us, why should we do it to them? We have nothing to hide. We want to engage with the West. I understand all that stuff, but and that's good. In a perfect world, that's the way you want to be. But the elite in Europe don't see it like that.
Nope.
They don't see it as strength. Even though it is strength, it's stronger to say, just because you're kicking us out, we're not going to kick you out. That is the strong way to go.
Oh,
But the way
absolutely.
the globalist elites see it in Europe, they see it as weakness. And they get emboldened by it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Unfortunately, this is the way these people think. That's the way the neocons think.
You're right. And that's the worst part is I still don't think that a large part of the Russian government, or the elites understand who they're dealing with or want to understand who they're dealing with.
I don't know. I go back and forth on this. Sometimes I think they have a clear understanding. Sometimes I think they're completely, clueless. I mean, I don't know. Going back to between love, I did shows and I said that to a more proper way of engagement between the United States and Russia, which is the U.S. Department of State engaging the Foreign Ministry of Russia. That's a proper and better way to move the conversation forward.
Yeah.
And what does Peskov say today in a statement? He says, "Well, we're going to invite Witkoff and Kushner very, very soon to Moscow, and I'm going to announce the date anytime now." I mean, it's like you take one step forward, and then he takes two steps back. What are you going to talk to Kushner and Witkoff about? Just let Lavrov handle this. Just
Wait a
give
minute, wait a
him
minute.
the damn keys to the car and let him drive.
Alex, there's the bridge or the tunnel to Alaska. Isn't
This nonsense
that
stuff. Yeah, this is nonsense.
the deal
Yeah,
on
I
the table?
mean,
The tunnel that's got to
I
bring
couldn't believe
everybody
what I was hearing
together
from
and
Peskov. Ah, I couldn't believe what I was hearing from him. Well, just so I understand, we're going to have Witkoff and Kushner flying into Moscow at 1 o'clock in the morning so they can sit with Putin for 4 or 5 hours all night so that Putin can tell them it's pronounced Lugansk and not Lugansk or Zaporozhye. I mean, right? And then Peskov's going to come and give a statement and say, we spent 5 hours explaining our position and helping Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner understand how we see things. It's like, why?
I know.
You have a foreign ministry for a reason, and the United States has a State Department for a reason. Both sides, they have these institutions are there for a reason. Just let them do their thing.
I know. But I mean, if you think about it, even as a bagman, this has been a failure to try to get them in, try to get around the these sanctions, try to engage the U.S. in some kind of long-term economic policy. This has been a total failure. It's been a year and a half, and what does it have to show for itself?
Well, it's been successful for the U.S.
Oh
Actually, I
yeah,
think, look, for
buying
me, I
time.
yeah, my position on this is very clear. Some people don't like it, but my position is crystal clear on this, and maybe I'm wrong. But I believe that over the past year, when Trump has been president, he has managed to wrestle away Russia's deterrence, and he has bought time. He's delayed Putin for a year. Now, Russia is winning in the war in Ukraine. There's no doubt about it. They're winning. There's not a person on earth with an IQ over 50 who doesn't understand that Russia is winning the conflict.
There's a lot of people with
Sure,
IQs
there are. And then some of them are in very powerful positions,
Yes, they are.
but Russia is capturing cities. Zelensky is firing defense ministers. He's firing generals. The economy's a mess. The country has protests. I mean, it's clear as day that Ukraine is crumbling. It's crumbling. Russia is winning. the war in Ukraine. But the problem that Putin has, and he's going to see it in front of him. I think Russia's going to be dealing with this for many, many years. I hope I'm wrong. It is that they've given the West a carte blanche to strike at Russia when they want, however they want.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I agree. And
D
Russia
take
will
Ukraine off the
respond.
table. Yeah, and even if Ukraine is wrapped up and the war is over, the West still has that in their back pocket.
The no matter what they do, even when it's flying through or out of Estonia or Finland, the strikes are only in Ukraine. So Ukraine's a whipping boy.
Yeah,
And the
well,
Euros don't
exactly.
have to
Yeah.
worry.
Exactly. And even if Russia goes and they capture Kiev, or they capture Odessa, or they go all the way to Lviv, whatever. The collective West is never, ever going to stop. They're never going to just say, okay, the conflict is over. Let's sign some sort of a treaty or some sort of an agreement. No, they're never going to get there. And even if they do sign something like that, they're never going to honor it. And they're always going to have in their back pocket, we can send a drone into Russia, we can send them as we can do something. And you're not going to do anything. And they know that. And they can keep something like that going for decades. And I think that is the worrying part, because this is where the West excels. This is where the US is at its best, is when they have enough time and space to chip away at a country until they find that opening to then really collapse it. I think this is where the United States is at the top of its game, because they have all of these tools at their disposal. And whether you're talking about Syria or Libya, Iran, I think Iran is in danger of this, which is why they're holding on to the Strait of Hormuz as leverage for dear life, because there's the understanding that once the United States has something over you and has leverage over you, then they'll take 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they'll just keep on chipping away and hitting and poking, and eventually something's going to get through.
Oh, you're right. This is what I keep explaining on Russian media to other people. Look, they don't have a plan. They've got five or six plans. Plan A gets to a certain two, three steps in, comes to a crash. Okay, start plan B, start plan C, and usually two or three plans at a time. And when they can get one further in, they go for the other one, and it's back and forth. A lot of people don't want to. They don't want to face that. This is
Yeah, and it's
the feeling I get.
no, yeah, and it's not about wars or even launching missiles or having some sort of a conflict. It's that the West has all types of other mechanisms at their disposal that they can throw at a competitor. Like Assad wasn't defeated militarily. It wasn't a war. He wasn't defeated by HTS and Al Jolani. It was a coup, but it was a coup that took many years to shape and to form. They had to get rid of the Syrian loyal guard to Assad's father. All of these old school type of guys that would die for the country and protect the country and were very loyal to Assad's father, and that they fought and prevented a collapse from happening earlier. They had to get those guys out. They had to get other people in. They had to move Syria away from Russia and from BRICS, which is why Assad, whenever he was invited to participate in these events, he never went. And they courted Assad with the GCC and with the Gulf countries, and they were in on it. And eventually they created the dynamic so that Assad was isolated and weak. And then they moved in for the kill, and they got it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was masterfully done. I mean, honestly, when you look at the units, the veteran units that he disbanded,
Yeah.
the new guys he had in that didn't have training, he refused Russian training, he refused Russian equipment, he refused Russian investment in his country and Chinese investment. It would have created jobs.
Exactly. I remember Russia was so frustrated with everything. China was frustrated with everything that was going on. I remember when Russia invited Syria, they invited Assad to the Kazan BRICS, and he didn't go. And everyone's like scratching their heads, going, "What's wrong with this guy?" And instead, he opted to hang out with the GCC countries, and he wanted back into the GCC, and he wanted to pal around with all of them,
Oh, he could go
without
pal
understanding
around with
that.
him at any time now, while he's living in one of his apartments in Moscow.
Well, he didn't understand that these guys are not your friends, man. They're going to turn on you, right? That's exactly what they did.
If it was his brother that was in power, none of this would have happened, or his father. He
Well,
was a weak man. He is a weak man.
look, I think he just got tired. I mean, he held up, but I just think that he just lost. He lost his. That will to continue, I think. He got worn down.
Well, he
He
made
got
stupid
worn down,
decisions.
I believe. Yeah. And he made stupid decisions, and it's look, every leader, or most leaders, the whole the shiny, West West that
Internet. Come on.